Time is 8:06. Overcast skies here in downtown Wausau, the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Temperature stands at 56 degrees. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com or x.com, where we have a video stream. You can add your comments and be part of the show that way as well. Well, it has been a very interesting week so far. I mentioned yesterday that on Monday I was not informed of a time change in a Wausau West softball playoff game, so I missed it completely. Yesterday, I drove 2 hours and 20 minutes to Pembine. I get into the parking lot of the school. I check my phone as I got in there because it was in and out because there's lousy reception. And I, like 10 minutes earlier, get the note I can't from the AD. Terrible. Sorry. The game has been postponed. So it did not even get out of the vehicle and turned around, drove another 220 back home just in time to get involved in our severe weather coverage last night. So it has been quite a go of it. But real fast, today we do have a pair of high school softball playoff games. I am heading to Crivets because that's where they're going to play the game now. Newman was supposed to play at Pembine, but now they moved it to Crivets. So Newman against Pembine. The other school in the co-op. My mind is fried at this point.
Whoever.
Yes, so, but we'll be on the air at 11:50 for the pregame, and then Tom Weaver will have Marathon in action at 4:50 this afternoon. We'll have more on this later on. But first of all, I need to say good morning because I know I may be saying things are not great, but this guy, Bob Look, who joins us every other Wednesday. Bob, you were just trying to enjoy a Milwaukee Brewer game last night, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just about like I do every night when the Brewers are on the telly and watching a game and the Brewers making a comeback. And oh, Christian Yelich with a hard shot to right center field, giving the Brewers the lead and poof.
And then you think, well, it's going to be just a short amount of time. You know, they'll fix it.
You know, it got a little windy, but, you know, wasn't any big major lightning strikes while I was sitting there. And of course, now the things are all, you know, tornado warning. It was, you know, the sirens are going off and everything else. So I go, well, I guess it's going to be a little bit. So I figured, you know, in maybe a few, about a half hour,
sure,
an hour, we'll get right
back.
They'll
be right on top of it.
And then it got to be about 9:30 and then 10 o'clock. And and this happened at 8 o'clock when the power went out. And so I got a hold of Wisconsin Public Service. You know, they're... You go through their numbers and you give them your address and your zip code and phone number. And then this is, well, and then they give you their update. Well, we currently have no, you can't give it an answer as far as how long we expect this outage to last. Oh, okay.
Basically, your guess is as good as mine.
Right. So I'm saying, well, okay, that's cool. And so, and I had a candle, in the living room and just kind of, texting with, like my neighbors, everything cool, everyone okay, no big damage, trees and stuff, And I go, well, it's doing me no good to sit up here and, watch this, nothing, So I went to bed, about after 11, fully thinking that by the time, it gets, and my phone was going to be my alarm clock,
right.
Because I could set that, my regular alarm clock can't work because it's electric. So, you know, I slept pretty, until about, my morning man body kicked back into gear, and it was like 3:45 in the morning. And I get up and I check, still my clock radio is not functioning. No lights of any kind or any electricity in the house. I go, okay, so let's check with the WPS. Again, I am not criticizing WPS. Okay?
Right.
This is, it's a heck of a job what they're trying to do. And, I was expecting at least get some update. And still unable to give you an indication of when we anticipate this is going to be a while. So I just kind of laid there for a little bit, and then eventually, got around to 6:00. Okay, let's get up. And I listened to some stuff on my phone, to keep me informed what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come to the realization that not everyone, there was initially about 8,000 customers whose power was out when it first happened.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a whole bunch of them had gotten back their power. But my little island of the world, which we've talked about before, about the internet coverage, which is non-existent where I live, and we're still out of power as of this morning. Opened up my electric garage door manually to
get out
to be here. And I'm going I'm thinking, there's got to be other, but it's just.
You truly do live, I think, in, that, if you had the grid.
It's a Bermuda Triangle.
And if you take that grid of the area and you focus on the one spot that probably has the worst technological coverage and a 21st century feel to it, it is right on your house, right there.
Yeah, it's just like it says here, civilization ends here. So that's what we're going through here this morning. So
yeah,
maybe by the time we're done with our little visit here, I'll be heading home and my TV will be on because I was watching a Brewer game. So it's like the lights in the living room and stuff are going to be back on. Who knows? I have no idea.
Last night I was on the air doing some severe weather coverage.
Sure.
And was going to ask you because, you've been doing this for such a long time as well that I got to say that. I find I really use the word enjoy is sort of unfair to say, but when there's something that is happening where you're not scripted, I tell you, that's the same thing about doing sports. It's nothing is scripted. I find it to be some of the most enjoyable and most exciting aspect of the job. I imagine that over the years you had some really interesting, nights and days where you're covering severe weather because you're and it's important, and I think we all feel that.
Because we're right there,
yeah,
as it's happening or reporting it to the audience. I told the story, on here. But I was in Milwaukee radio at the time doing a midday shift, and this is the Space Shuttle Challenger, with the teacher on board and everything else. And so it's like middle of the day. So I'm doing my midday. It's a country music station in Milwaukee. And so I'm doing. So here's the studio, and it's just like this studio here for Bull Falls Radio. They had the window, and you could look into the newsroom. And then they had. Now again, this is mid '80s. They had CNN. It was one of the early days of having the cable setup. So I'm just as the space shuttle is taking off. Live on the telly, I had to get to a talk break, back selling some songs. Sure. And I says, and the latest news from NASA, the space shuttle has lifted off the Cape with the teacher, on board. And just as I was saying to the audience, all of a sudden, here was the big flash. And I had seen enough of these launchings from way back to the Mercury days and mm-hmm. that wasn't normal. And I said, just live, as I was watching it, and apparently something has gone terribly wrong. We will have details in just a moment. And then it broke into commercial, the commercial break that was scheduled, get on the station's intercom. And I said, somebody get the newsroom stat. We got to get, and as fate would have it, the person who was handling the news and stuff at that point in time was Howard Gernetzky.
Wow.
He was when he was still working in Milwaukee. He was the guy who came bursting into to the into like looks at me and I'm like, and so then I, you know, on the next, you know, basically ad-libbed, you know, I don't know details and that, but you may check in with your latest news, you know, we're not a news station, but, you know, from what I can grapple, things are a little gone bad. Let's hope for the best. And, you know, and you see it and you broadcast
right
as it's happening.
Were you
9/11?
Tangent though. Did you succeed Howard at SAU? Were you right after Howard?
Yeah. Oh, so. Well, that's where they hired me, because Howard was battling cancer, and finally, and the whole thing was, I just wanted to get a word of condolence or my sympathies to you know, his wife, you
Rosemary.
Know, yeah, Rosemary. And I didn't know really how to get back in touch with them, because, you know, I worked with them in Milwaukee.
Sure.
And so I called up the owner's headquarters and just said, could you just please pass that on to Rosemary, you know, from me, you know, my sympathies and blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, that they called me the next day and said, hey, what are you doing now? Well, I'm working in radio in Sioux Falls, South Dakota now. Why? And then next thing you know, they
step by step, and all of a sudden you're back in Wausau.
And then
right?
they made an offer for me to come back here to, and of course, my wife was thrilled because this is kind of her home area.
Right.
And so,
those are big shoes to fill, though, huh?
Yes, they were.
Legend. I mean, truly a Wausau legend.
And when I my first morning show on WSAU, I says, folks, my name is Bob Look. I'm not Howard. Howard was a friend of mine, and I worked with him in media in the past. Don't compare me to him. Just listen, and if there are things you like, let me know. If there's things you don't like, let me know.
Right.
And let's just do our best. And it seemed to work out okay.
Howard Gernetzky, what a great, great broadcast, and great man. And
he was very funny.
Yeah.
Very snarky kind of... But a very
fun guy to be around, right?
He was cool. A wonderful guy.
With Bob Look, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we're going to be joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Find out the details on everything that happened last night here and throughout the state of Wisconsin. A very long line of storms. Almost 8:19. Glad you could join us to start our Wednesday morning. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:21. Again, overcast skies, the wind blowing just a little bit here in downtown Wausau as well. Temperature stands at 56 degrees. And obviously last night was a very active evening weather-wise, not just here in central Wisconsin, but pretty much throughout the state. It was an exceptionally long line of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes. If you looked at the maps last night, you saw lots of boxes for severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings. And I'm sure somebody that was very, very, very busy last evening is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany joins us right now. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. I'm going to say a line from the new Twisters movie. If you don't face your fear, you ride it. That was last night.
I tell you, and I'm with Bob Look here again this morning. We were talking, and I was on the air last night as the weather came on and was passing along information. And, most of the time, we're having these kind of discussions where, talking about a forecast where, it could be cloudy, it could be sunny. But then you have these nights where so much happens. And I imagine that it is riding the wave a little bit for you and your colleagues as well.
Oh, it sure is. So much was going on, and it all happened so fast and all at the same time. I mean, the same time that we were getting tornado warnings in Marathon County, so was Madison. Mm-hmm. They had multiple tornado warnings all at once, so we were getting this all at the same time. And then it pushed over to the east and started to dissipate. But winds were clocked here in Wausau at 60 miles per hour. And there's, of course, reports of about a 25-foot tree just 2 miles north of downtown that's been uprooted. Mm. That takes strong winds to do that. Plus, all the rain that we got, nearly 2 inches of rainfall, made that ground so soggy that across the state, a lot of trees are uprooted. I'm seeing tons and tons of pictures of that happening from those strong winds in this line of storms. But we're the only ones in the entire state that actually had a tornado being reported by someone. Everything else was just radar indicated. It was our rotation showing up that we could see on our radar images. Nothing was confirmed throughout the entire state. But in Unity, the town of Unity, someone said that they saw a funnel actually touching the ground, and law enforcement reported that, and there goes our sirens for the next 45 minutes, right?
And last night, looking at the radar, I don't know how often this happens, but I was looking at that line. It was all the way up to the UP and all the way down to the border of Illinois. Yeah. How unusual is that? Because I thought that was pretty amazing, just looking at that radar with all the bright colors and everything that was going on with it. Usually you'll see a line, but it doesn't go from the entirety of the state of Wisconsin. Basically, it was pretty much the state of Wisconsin had this long line of very intense thunderstorms and tornadoes.
We did. We had those severe storms just snaking throughout the state. I mean, these lines are actually kind of common for us in the Midwest, because a lot of the severe thunderstorms start and they're isolated off into Iowa. And then as it pushes towards us, they line out against that cold front. But one of the most common ways that we here in Wisconsin get tornadoes is inside of those lines. They're just embedded in that line of storms. And so that's what we were seeing, was brief little spin-ups of some rotation actually touching the ground inside that line. So that's very interesting, and a little tidbit too. If you're ever on the south side of those storms, the south side of the line is usually, and the north side is where a lot of those tornadoes do happen. So, goodness, we made it though. We made it. Just some tree damage, power outages, and that's the worst I'm seeing being reported. Thankfully, Iowa, not so much. They got hit really hard. It's the town of Greenville. Yeah. Deaths being reported from a massive tornado there. So, scary stuff.
Well, now that we've got past that, again, we still had some cloud cover. A little bit of light precipitation was coming down as I came into work this morning. But things are going to improve as we get through the rest of the day, aren't it?
Yes, we are going to actually see some spots of sunshine as we go through the afternoon. More and more clearing by tonight. Temperatures today will only hit the upper 60s, so still a little on the cooler side, and still breezy with winds gusting up to 25 miles per hour. I mean, we're in the backside of the system. It's still kind of near us, so it's going to take a minute for it to leave. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, beautiful, bright, sunny, warmer, mid to upper 70s. It's going to be the best day of the week is tomorrow.
And then as we get through, and again, I'm looking ahead here, yeah, our temperatures have stayed a little bit cooler than maybe we'd expect as we now get towards Memorial Day. And even through the weekend, we're going to still be in the 60s, it looks like. I just find it odd because we've had so many warm months for such a long time. It feels like we've been kind of below the curve a little bit in terms of the temperatures. Is that true?
Yes, we are. We're going to have a much cooler than average Memorial Day weekend, unfortunately. I know a lot of pools and beaches and stuff want to open up, and we want the 80s, but no, mid to upper 60s this weekend. And in fact, we're going to see some wet weather on Friday. That kicks on out of here, so it'll be pretty decent for Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, we may see some more showers and storms returning. So keep that in mind, that Saturday and Sunday this weekend will be the driest for us, but much cooler out there as well. But and you know what? It's better than severe storms. I'll take 60s over yesterday.
yeah, I think so. But we're only on the front edge of the summer, so I'm sure this will not be the last time that you and I are being asked to bring some severe weather information to the folks here in central Wisconsin.
No, I know. Hey, did you get your game in?
You opened up a can of worms here. I drove 2 hours and 20 minutes, arrived, and 10 minutes earlier they had called the game. I never got out of the car. I turned around 2 hours and 20 minutes back, and at that point, I was in time to start covering the severe weather.
There you go. You're a storm chaser now.
I tell you. And you were right. And there were a couple of moments and some heavy rains as I was going through. And I remember talking to you yesterday, making sure I didn't go plowing through because I was a lot of two-lane roads where I was headed yesterday. But it was, I mean, more than 4.5 hours straight driving for no game.
I know. I was thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, well, they could probably get the game in time, but are they thinking about driving from Wausau?
But it's like, this was like, on the road again. Another reminder.
Yeah.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Brittany, thanks for the information. Thanks for everything did last night as well. And we'll catch you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good day, everyone.
That's our Brittany Merlot joins us every weekday morning from at 8:20 here on Bow Falls Radio. Again, right now in Wausau. Overcast skies, 56 degrees. A little bit gusty out there. The winds are out of the southwest at 18 miles per hour. Gusting up to 28 miles per hour. The dew point is 53. Relative humidity of 90%. The barometer at 29.53 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, we're going to get the latest information. Again, a lot of areas of Wisconsin were impacted by the weather last night. We'll get the headlines and then also another weather update and Mike Clemens with sports and then back with Bob Look coming up after that. Glad you could be with us here this morning. The time is almost 8:29. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Business show. Welcome, Wausaunians, to the Lobster Bus. We are going to Red Lobster. If Red Lobster's not coming to us, we will go to Red Lobster.
This is the manager, guys. Can we get a round of applause?
This week, Executive Director Tim White from Visit Wausau joins us. We'll see you 8 to 9 Saturday. No, I'm free.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app with Bob Look here for the first hour. Bob, we just mentioned the fact that I had a long drive yesterday up to Pembine, and that's in the far northeast.
Well, who doesn't want to visit Pembine?
I tell you,
time of year.
I learned a lot of two-lane roads to get there. But the thing about it was interesting because, again, it was a long drive, and you kind of go through a lot of rural areas. Before I actually ask this, real quickly, what's the longest distance you went to a broadcast where there was not a game? Have you ever had a situation like that, or were you lucky enough not to have to deal with anything like that?
Well, it's when you mentioned that, you know, I'm just trying to think, you know, that ever ran into where event was just canceled
right at the last moment.
You know, but I remember, you know, back when they're doing high school football for the Port Washington Pirates, okay, and they were going up to play a tournament game in Antigo, all right, and there was snowstorms. I mean, serious snowstorms, lake effect, Lake Michigan types things. Port Washington on the way up to Antigo, So I'm waiting to the last second to make that trip to go all the way up to Antigo to do this game, because I'm in my mind I'm thinking there's no way they're going to play this. This is blizzard out there. Well, and I'm waiting for the last, and I was calculating how long it's going to take to drive there with slower speeds. So I hit the road and I'm going through this and it was just like horrible. And so I've got the, I'm trying to get, I got in touch with the Antico radio station. Oh yeah, we're playing. No problem. We're playing. So I'm getting there I was through a blizzard. I've been driving the whole time. And so I'm now about 20 miles away from Antico and all of a sudden the blizzard stops and it's just cloudy. But, as I got there, they still got not with a whole bunch of snow, and then they bulldozed the snow off the field. So we played the game.
Sure.
But the whole time I was driving, we ain't going to play. Well, we did play, and it was one of those things where Antigo, they had won, Division I championships.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, 1980s, right?
Gordy Schofield era.
Right. And so they felt like they were taking a step down because they were playing Division II,
sure.
Port Washington High School, who shouldn't even be. I was doing my show at the station in Port Washington, and some from Antigo radio station called me and made some kind of a highfalutin bet, like, if Port Washington wins, I'm going to give you a box of potatoes or whatever. Just silly radio stuff. And so I said, okay, that's fine. If Antigo wins, I'll get you a smoked fish. Okay.
Throwing anything out there.
Yeah. So we get to the football deal, and so I'm setting up, and the next thing here's a guy from the radio station slapped me on the back, and I'm like old friends.
Right.
They got the local newspaper. And they're basically taking this picture because they thought that people from Port Washington were from Mars. Because they weren't a Division I school, they were a Division II school at that time. And so it was like the local paper, I'm shaking hands with these people okay, what's this all about?
Basically patting you on the head.
And he had a big box of potatoes because to welcome you to Antigo. And I'm thinking, this is great.
This is a production, huh?
Well, again, believe me, Antigo Red Robin fan, I'm not picking on you, okay? I'm just telling you this is the way it was. Yeah, well, anyway, Port Washington just creamed them. I mean, literally, just dominated from start to finish. And I'm in the press box, and I'm feeling really good about myself. And I'm really getting loud because everyone in front of me is Antigo fans, and I'm just... touchdown for the Port Washington Pirates. I'm just really over.
You're projecting.
I'm just oversaturating this. And people are just giving it was just an hour ago. They were so nice to be giving me a box of potatoes. They're patting me on the back. Welcome to Antigo.
They're about to eject you from the press box.
I was enjoying the game maybe a little too much, but I was a little younger then.
Sure. But on my trip there, I noticed a lot of Trump signs. And it's not surprising. I think anybody who drives around through rural areas, but I didn't see any Biden signs at all. And it sort of reiterated to me again the challenge that I think the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin has outside of some of the metropolitan areas. And we've talked, about your race for the state Senate, which involves a lot of rural areas. It was also a very large amount of land to cover that you had to do a couple of years ago. And I wanted to kind of bring it up again because I do think that and you've talked about it. Again, that was like a +25 Republican district, and you performed very well in terms of compared to other Democrats on the ballot. You've talked about the fact, again, that you would go around and try to connect with a lot of these voters. What piece of advice do you give? Because, again, I was thinking about we've had recently on both the Democratic candidates for the 7th Congressional District, and they got to go around to a lot of these communities.
You gotta introduce yourself. Yeah.
Right. What did you learn? Because you obviously talked to a lot of folks during your campaign that could be maybe good to know for those folks that, and we have a couple of younger candidates in the 7th running for office. what experience did you have in terms of talking, especially to the rural voters that I think are very important to for the Democratic Party to be able to win in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, one thing I want to emphasize more than anything else is that if the past election that I was involved in, running for the state Senate District 29, if it was based on signs and that for compared to my opponent, to myself, the percentage would have been 95% to 5%.
I understand that. I completely understand that. But it does show, I think, an enthusiasm for a lot of those folks for Mr. Trump.
Yes, but it's the safety in numbers, because he finds people who are kind of like, you know, the same. But they also don't realize that a lot of those people that, you know, that they assume are of like mind are not. They're willing to listen, and those are the people that you want to, you know, try to at least talk to, and see if they can get others to, you know, at least give me a listen, or you know, hear my side of the story, ask me questions, listen to my answers, and is it connect with where your thought is too? I mean, people, I've said this before. Is when people get in that voting booth, or when they're filling out their ballot, it's just them and the ballot. There's nobody hanging over them. There shouldn't be nobody hanging over them.
That's right.
There shouldn't be somebody out there, basically threatening them. They should, you know, have it. It's their decision, and it's, you know, ballot that, you know, goes into there, and your name is not attached to it. It's your, you know, secret ballot, and if somebody asks you, well, who'd you vote for? He says, well, I voted in the election. That's all I'm going to say.
And that's why all this talk, and we've discussed this before, all this talk on polls is so silly. Because, again, it is completely different. You're exactly right. I mean, anybody that's ever gone into a voting booth, it is just you and that ballot.
Yeah.
And it's you and your thoughts and you and what you want for your community and what you want for your state and what you want for your country.
And
it's so much different.
What's best for them.
Exactly. And it's so much different than when you get a phone call from somebody and you hear this voice with this whatever attitude they got asking you about all these questions, and often in a certain way that they're asked as well. I mean, it's completely different.
Yeah, well, when I told you that story way back when. I was back, I think, late 70s maybe. And I was at, you know, voting where I was living at the time, Port Washington, and they had an exit poll, or, you know, giving me something to fill out. Would you mind filling out for our exit polling? And of course, I'm, you know, my mid to late 20s.
You got that smart. You got that Antigo attitude.
Yeah, I'm kind of being a real putz here. And so it says age over 65. You know, race. You know, African American.
Right.
Male or female. And I mean, everything. I just wrote gibberish, and then handed them, here, you can put that in your computer. Good luck. You know. I'm not saying everyone does that.
No.
But I'm saying when you put your, you know, vote on a ballot, a real ballot, it gets counted by a real, you know, election officer, and it's like, this is the real thing.
And something you just said when you were talking about the signage and rural areas about how, you know, there are people that aren't as loud. And I think sometimes we confuse the people that are the loudest with a certain percentage of support in whatever issue or whatever candidate, that there are a lot of people that just don't want to get into an argument, that, you know, they may have a neighbor that is either, you know, you could be a Republican, they could be a Democrat, or vice versa, that you just don't want to do that. You don't want to get into it. And you have some people that are going to be very loud, and they have the biggest signs that you could possibly have. They'll deck out their house in red, white, and blue Trump signs and all this. But in the end, it's still one vote compared to the person across the way who may be quiet, who may be more thoughtful, and frankly, I've never been one that wants to put a bumper sticker on my car anyways.
I feel that, you know, sometimes people, because they have a political sign in their yard, that does not mean that they are not approachable.
Sure.
that there, in fact, when I was doing campaigning and people just, you know, even when I was trying to get signatures to be, get on the ballot, first thing, I might have told this story on the air here before where I bumped into a gentleman. I just wanted him to sign my nomination papers to get on the ballot. And he says, oh, yeah. And he looks at it and all of a sudden he hits the magic word there. It says Democrat. And he just looked at me and everything just changed.
Right.
And so instead of me just taking the sheet of paper away from him and going, well, that's the way you feel, I said, well, his guy's name is Norm, okay?
Norm?
Yeah, Norm. And I go, Norm. I says, can I ask you a question? You have children? He says, oh, yeah. Wait. You got grandkids, don't you? Yeah, I've got this big light up. And I go, I bet you're very proud of them. Oh, yeah. I have step grand. And just talking. And then I says, hey, you like do fishing up here? He says, oh, yeah, I love walleye fishing over at Lake. Blah, 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 blah. And he starts talking about it. And we start talking about the jigs, the bait you use, and all this kind of stuff. And we spent 20 minutes talking about everything under the sun. And then after we got, took like a little breath, took a sip of the beer, and I went, well, Norm, I just wanted to ask you again. It's not that I'm asking for your vote. I'm just trying to get on the ballot. Can you help me out, please? Oh, give me that. And he signs it, And I says, well, thanks, Norm. And I hope that from now until the time of election, you'll have a chance to maybe listen to what I have to say. And maybe we can, anytime you want to reach me, I had a website and everything else, go ahead.
It's about democracy.
I try.
Again, I think no matter what the political persuasion is, everybody does want the system to work. And sometimes you need to almost refocus by just having a conversation. Well, because I think sometimes everybody gets, there's so much noise out there that sometimes people lose that focus a little bit.
The slogan that I had for my campaign was common man, common sense. I didn't come out there, pointing fingers.
You did not.
And I tried not to be negative to the opponents. I real, state my case. Yeah,
real fast. And the thing was, when you came on during your campaign, if I would even push you in that direction, you wouldn't go there.
No. I figured that there's enough of that.
There, you're exactly right. You actually walk the walk as well as talk the talk. So we'll come back. One more segment with Bob Look here on this Wednesday morning. The time is 8:49. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app again later today, we have a pair of high school softball playoff games. I'm heading to Crivets in just a little bit.
Are you sure they're not moving it to like Lac de Flambeau now?
Well, I'm going to keep an eye on any messages coming in. But
WIAA and high school sports is in. We're going to have a game, but we're not sure where.
And they want us to give us check made out to the whole school, and they're changing it all the time. So, I mean, it's a whole different conversation. But Newman Catholic against Pembine Goodman. I remembered it this time. 11:50 for the pregame, 12 noon, a special time here on this Wednesday. And then Tom Weaver will have Marathon in action coming up against Princeton Green Lake at 4:50 for the pregame and 5 o'clock for the first pitch later today, live here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And Memorial Day is always about the Indy 500 for me. I was lucky enough to go to the race one time, and I did see that you mentioned on your Facebook page, hey, is any radio station covering the grade? And in fact, if you look at my computer here, mm-hmm. I have I've ordered, I got Indy 500 radio, because back in the past, right. I've ordered from the Indy 500. I got the 1964, 67, 73, and 77 races back in the glory days where they didn't have live TV. And I love listening to those old races. But,
and the old public address announcer at the Indy 500, Tom Carnegie.
Yep. There's a new track
on it. And it, yeah, I went to the Indy 500 in 85 and 86. Went to the time trials in 88, the final day of time
you
trials.
You saw the spin and win then, huh?
Yes, yep, Danny Sullivan's spin and win. Well, I didn't see it. I was in the backstretch on the infield. Oh. That was our first year to get a ticket. And but all we know is that Danny Sullivan was leading, and in between turns one and two, I guess he did the old loop-de-doop, mm-hmm. but next thing you know, Mario Andretti's out in front. So
yep.
Yeah, it's one of those
it's a spectacular
must-do
yes.
things. When you're standing in the middle of that speedway and you look, no matter where you look, you see grandstands, you're thinking, there's like, you know, like six football stadiums with people here. And it's just an incredible, incredible thing to see. And it's just cool. I mean,
it is.
It's a cool thing. When you go in the infield and, you know, there's three golf holes yes. that's in the infield because it's part of the golf course.
And there's, also, I mean, when I went in 2002, I went with my dad. He had got sick, and one of his dreams was to go to the Indy 500. So we went to the Indy 500, and we got on a bus being on the track. You know, went to the museum and saw the old cars. Yep. I mean, there's so much there. And it truly is
even
Memorial
not,
Day
even
weekend.
Even if you're not a racing fan.
Right.
You just have to.
Oh, and the humanity.
The impressed at the reverence
yeah.
To that area and what it's like. And what it's an incredible thing how they get all those people there for the race and then get them out. Well, it's real easy. You always have the roads going into Speedway, Indiana, for the race, and then after the race, there's no roads going back to the Speedway. They get you out the door.
Yes, they do.
It's like, get out of here. We're done with you.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of the great things about Memorial Day weekend is always Indianapolis.
And, you know, I can still, you know, listen to the, you know, the Paul Page, who had done the play-by-play yeah. for so long. Howdy Bell was always yeah. one of the turns. And just these people live for that, and because there were a lot of them were just like broadcasters, like you and me, mm-hmm. you know, who were like, and they would give them that one gig on a nationwide, worldwide network.
Sid Collins started that with guys that worked in Indianapolis. It was all, you know, this started with yeah. nothing, and then all of a sudden it turned into the biggest radio network in the world.
And you could hear the love and the admiration they have for this event.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's so. Just one of those things that, to me, it feels like the start, official start of summer.
You're exactly right.
Is hearing the Indy 500 radio broadcast. Mm. You know, hearing that, you know, crazy little song. The 500,
I know.
The 500, the greatest race in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, who has their own theme song?
I know. and it's just, it's corny as heck, but so cool at the yeah. same time.
And having Jim Nabors when he was still around.
Oh, yes.
Back home again in Indiana.
And he was so perfect. I mean, there were others that did it, even during the time. And yeah. you just look at it and say, oh, that guy's not Jim Nabors.
Here's the story that's really good. In 85, Walt Disney signed a big advertising promotion deal with the Indy 500, right? So Jim Nabors didn't do Back Home Again, Indiana. They had the cast of Disney characters saying, and you haven't lived until you hear 300,000 people boo loudly and start chanting, we want Gomer, we want Gomer. And Dave Letterman, back in his late show, had a big deal about this. He had Jim Nabors on an interview. He called the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the carpet. How could you not have Jim Nabors not sing Back Home Again in Indiana? And they basically came on Letterman's show and apologized.
And for folks out there, if you want a thrill, and I get goosebumps thinking about, go to YouTube and just look at the last Jim Nabors back home because they knew he announced it would be his last one.
He was ailing badly.
But he still did a wonderful job. Yep. He had one of the daughters of Tony Holman next to him, and it was just so cool. So yeah, so I mean, folks, tune it in on Sunday.
It's a bit of history.
Absolutely.
May has so many cool things. Kentucky Derby in the front, and of course the Indy 500 in the back.
And real fast, we have a minute to go. I know you're always writing on your Brew Crew review. What have you been writing recently? What are your thoughts on the crew as they continue to be in first place?
Well, I you know, last few games, I was kind of saying to myself, you know, Willie Adames is starting to be the Keston Hira of this year's team. And I was thinking about maybe writing about that. And I says, nah, he has these little dips in that. I shouldn't pick on him too much. But I was a little upset that they were pinch hitting for Bryce Terang, who's having a monster year. Oh, because there's a left-handed pitcher out there?
The book.
When are you going to let a left-handed pitcher or a left-handed batter face left-handed pitching? And then he can be an everyday player.
Bang.
I mean, it was just a question. I wasn't really being too nitpicky.
Well, follow Bob on Facebook. Get those kind of questions.
Well,
and then you can respond to as well.
But, of course, my Facebook isn't doing anything because there's no power in my house.
Bob, thanks again. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You too, guys.
Coming up, another hour to go. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9, 1230.